T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now! It is now 7:08 here at WCCO. Welcome! You are listening to Steele Talking, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele. My goodness, the Super Bowl is finally here. What? You mean to tell me the game is happening right now? Shut up. Are you enjoying it? Are you having a good time? Oh, there's so much to talk about tonight. Woo! Those of y'all that are volunteers, I love every one of you. Here we go. Woo! And you know this, and you know this. The team is together in studio tonight. It's been a while since Jonathan Lowe is running the phones and running the board tonight. And also Susie Jones, sister girlfriend, is in studio with me as well. Welcome back, y'all. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, my goodness. And here we are in the studio during Super Bowl night. Can I just say...
What?
At first, I thought to myself, there's no way I'm going downtown on Super Bowl night.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get down here?
You're earning a paycheck, though. This is a bit different.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that. But, you know, seriously, when it comes, I expected tons of traffic and none of that. My brother-in-law picked me up and brought me downtown. And I just, it's buses everywhere parked. But I didn't encounter, like, traffic.
No. Although I think it was out there for a while in the afternoon. I got dropped off by my friend, my roommate, and got in the Skyway. She dropped me off at Lowe's down across from Target Center.
Nice.
And I just walked through the Skyways, and I helped a few people find their way that looked lost.
Wow.
But it was a easy ride in.
Now, you are one of the volunteers, right?
I am a Crew 52 member.
And I understand that Crew 52, when you guys signed up, you had to guarantee that you could do at least two.
Right.
Right? But you only had a chance to do one.
Well, didn't you tell me that you saw that some people were going on to the portal to try to sign up for shifts and they were all full?
Well, I had actually talked about that on an interview I did last Sunday, and they were saying, we're still taking people.
Mm.
So I'm sure people were still signing up. I mean, 10,000
volunteers.
They were
volunteers
everywhere. By the way, like the outfit.
Uh-huh.
Can I just say the uniform was kind of cute?
Yes. I'm not wearing it.
No, but I'm saying the outfit is kind of cute.
They actually asked us not to wear it just for fun during Super Bowl week because people will come up to you. So
even if you're in Plymouth or Woodbury,
yeah, maybe.
To you, how can I get there? you're 12 miles away. I don't know.
So only wear it during the week. So did you start on Sunday of last week, or
I did the first night? The first night
of
which
was the 28th, right? January 28th?
26.
Yeah. So that was the first night you started.
Yeah, I was a Skyway host.
Oh, and you loved it, didn't you?
It was fun. You know, you get to talk. You know me. I could talk to anybody.
Girl, you got the personality. You know you do. Jonathan would never do that job. I just want you to know. And Jonathan should never do that job. Oh,
you do not.
I hate people.
Oh, you do not. You know, he tells people that, but he's really kind of a loving guy. So, you know, just ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
He's weird, but he's loving.
Yes.
Okay. So in the paper, it talked about, in today's Pioneer Press, it talks about how will Atlanta ever top this Super Bowl? And it talks about the volunteers, Susie.
Mm.
And he says a friend of his was here and then needed to leave before, you know, all the big festivities started. And he said when he got out to the airport, Crew 52 volunteers who had nabbed the coveted airport gig. I mean, did you think of it as coveted?
I don't know. I mean, you're inside.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
But, of course, the Skyways work as well.
Right.
Anyway, he's saying that he ran into these people, and he reported that the blue-jacketed enlistees as obnoxiously and aggressively nice, which was really a compliment. In fact, one person ran after him and said, please ask me something.
Mm-hmm. I do think some people, I don't want to say they got tired of it, but there are so many volunteers, and they're stationed all over downtown.
All over. Yeah.
And so if you're just trying to walk from A to B, you might get somebody to ask you, do you need help, every 30 feet? And after, you know, how are you? Can I help you find something?
Yeah.
That kind of happened to me today. I parked over in Uptown and took the bus in. Because the main thing, it wasn't as much traffic. And I commend the host committee. They did a very good job, in my opinion, of letting people know, take the buses. Here's where you can get to the media shuttles. Here's where you can get to the fan shuttles. Here's where you can get to the light rail. So I don't think there was going to be as much traffic. But when you get into the skyways, I took the bus in, took the skyways over. Susie's right. There are people every 15 to 30 feet, yeah. And they're saying, can I help you? Can I help you? I felt like I was at Gates Barbecue back in Kansas City. When you enter in Gates Barbecue, any of those locations, they say, how may I help you?
Right.
That's what I felt like. I felt like I was in a barbecue joint.
So there was no way for them to discern who was from
Not
here
really,
who
no.
wasn't. So
mm-hmm.
you're right.
Right.
I never thought about that.
But now, clearly today, walking through the skyways, it was evident mm-hmm. who was from out of town because they were dressed up in their outfits. I did.
Outfits?
You know.
They're jerseys.
Hats, scarves.
Right.
So I was coming down through Gaviday, and there were two gentlemen, father and son.
Yeah.
And I said, they looked a little lost. I said, can I help you find anything? And they were just like, well, where's this? And I said, you know, I'm just going to tell you that I really do hope the Eagles win. I said, because as much as it was hard and painful mm-hmm. to watch that loss, I don't want Tom Brady to get another ring.
What is the hate for Tom? Help me understand it.
Oh, I just don't. I just feel like he.
It is ever growing.
I don't have love for him.
No, there's an air about this team.
The Patriots.
And I'm a jealous hater. I admit that. But there's an air about this team of people talk about elitism and snobbery and arrogance.
Hubris. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the air you get. And it's the air you get with quite a few of these teams that are very successful for a very long period mm-hmm. of time. I'm a big fan of the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
But even I can admit the Golden State Warriors have some arrogance about them.
So how do you guys think the Vikings fans are going to handle this? Because they came back from the last game with the Patriots, and they were pretty, you know,
Eagles.
With the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, some not such nice things.
Mm-mm. It was bad.
So, you know, if you've got two bad teams going up against each other, who do you root for?
That's kind of it.
That's what some people were saying. I hope that lightning hits the stadium and it goes in and it just hits the field and everybody's going.
That's terrible.
But
you actually heard that?
A sentiment like that. A sentiment similar
what
to
did you
that.
Guys, embellishing, aren't
what
you?
Did you guys think of Mayor Fry's video? Did you see it?
I haven't.
Oh, my
no,
Lord.
No. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It was so funny.
Yeah, I really like him,
oh,
by
he's
the way.
Spitfire. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what he said, oh, I really have to welcome the Eagles? He said a swear word in it, and they beeped it out. But it was like he was videotaping, you know, his bit, and then he turned like it was the camera had stopped rolling, and he's like, really?
Yeah.
Why I got to do this?
But our governor handled it well the first time. You know, he was like, oh, we're not going to disparage the name of the Eagles. We're welcoming them with open arms, blah, blah, blah. Closer to the game, it's like, yeah, well, I've heard some pretty awful things that were said at the last
And Steve Simpson from the Morning News is there. Sloan is there.
Yeah.
Al Schock is there.
Al Schock, Eric Nelson,
Steve Thompson.
Yes.
We have a big contingent.
My sister Javita. Hey now, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
But Steve said it looked like a big Philly crowd. A lot of Eagles fans.
They're
well, my
hungrier.
Girlfriend Wanda, who's there, she has been sending me videos.
Mm.
And the videos are just incredible to see the numbers of people. So they must have sold every ticket in somehow, some way.
Seems like it.
Trust me, this is the Super Bowl. This is the NFL's biggest event, their most popular event, their most well-seen event.
Mm-hmm.
Until maybe the third quarter,
yeah,
I don't think you're going to find an empty seat in that house.
I think you're
any
right.
Any Super Bowl.
It just depends on who's winning and who's not, right? Mm-hmm. Or how close it is.
Yes.
Because we love that. Because the game last year, wasn't the game last year like serious game?
It was.
I don't remember.
It was a 28-3 lead.
Okay, no, that
for
wasn't
Atlanta.
It. Okay, so
and then
who
they
was
lost?
Two years before was Seattle. That was a close game. That was back and forth. Mm-hmm. But last year was the.
Painful.
Well, it was either the comeback of the ages if you're a New England fan, or it was the collapse of the century if you root for Atlanta or were rooting for Atlanta.
So what happened to them last year is what happened to us this year. The 38-7
No, because Atlanta had a 28-3 lead,
right,
and ended up losing in overtime 34-28. The Patriots came back and won that game.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And I will tell you, Geralyn, that Tom Brady, and I know you just don't understand how much why I can not right. like someone like that.
Right.
He's really a machine. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles right now are up 22-12, right?
At the half.
Right. He could just take that ball and end the game because he's so good.
He's an amazing. I hate to give it over to him. I shouldn't say hate. I'm not the first one to give it over to him, but he is the greatest quarterback to ever play
right,
the game.
Right.
There's no denial. If you winning 5 Super Bowls by itself is an accomplishment, but winning it over a 15-16 year career.
Do you wish you were there right now?
At that game?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Not me. That,
you wouldn't mind?
I wouldn't mind being over there.
Wait, we're talking about the Super Bowl, dude. Either you say absolutely, or you go, no, thank you.
There's no gray area. The problem.
I wouldn't mind.
Here's the problem with that. Our own Hammer is also over there.
Mm-hmm. He bought
Hammer
a ticket.
Hammer finds a way in.
He bought a ticket.
This is 4 out of 5.
I know,
This is four out of the last 5 Super Bowls
Amazing.
That he's been to. He almost spent another 4 figures on it.
Yeah.
I don't have the... Typically Ching. Have the, yes, I don't have the cachet to go 4 figures on a Super Bowl ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I did.
And if you did, would you do it?
Mm-mm. Yes, I
Even
would.
Even if your team, no one that you cared about was in it?
Yes, because the experience of going to this sort of event is sort of like, I went to the All-Star Game in 2012, very honored to go to the All-Star Game. You know, the team that I rooted for at the time, they stunk. But going there when it was in my hometown, that was just an amazing event.
Is your food here?
To go.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Girl, I am so hungry, I don't know what to do. And I'm so grateful that they are delivering it. Pizza Luce, bring it on. Okay, we got to take a break. We actually have a guest coming up, you guys.
About
I'm excited.
It.
Thank you so much,
Susie. We'll talk to you later. I'll be back at 8 tonight.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 7:22 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Steel Talk. And I am your host, Geralyn Steele, and we have a really full show for you tonight. We hope you'll enjoy it. And, of course, feel free to call in at any time to join the conversation at 651-989-9226. Well, the MSP Airport has done a great job getting people in all week. But how will they do getting fans out of town on Monday, on tomorrow? Well, MSP Director of Operations visits us right now. His name is Mr. Phil. That's Phil Burke. How you doing, Phil?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. I bet you've been very, very busy.
We have been very busy. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting in my office right now getting ready for the major push that actually starts with private jet traffic yet this evening. We've got 58 private jets that are going to be leaving within the next hour and through midnight tonight, and then picks up again probably 6 a.m. tomorrow. And then, of course, our ticketing lobby starting at about 3:30 tomorrow morning is going to be rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling at 3:30 in the morning. That's incredible. You know, you've had to add flights. I know when people were coming in, there were flights added. Do you have to also add flights with people going out?
Well, the airlines certainly did. Delta, American, and United, and Southwest Airlines, and Sun Country, I guess, too, all added flights, especially going out east, Boston, Philadelphia, and there was even some New York traffic as well for the Super Bowl.
Very impressive. How many people went through the international airport last week when they were coming in?
That's a good question. On a daily basis, through MSP, whether it's originators or people getting off of flights or transferring, is about 100,000 on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Super Bowl traffic, we probably added about 10,000 a day, people that were coming in, again, from those cities.
10,000 a day?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. I kept hearing numbers about, you know, 1 million people were going to descend on this city. And, you know, 10,000 a day, you're getting pretty close.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing there is that, you know, that it's 10,000 a day, but then the majority of them are leaving tomorrow. So we've really been gearing up for that major push tomorrow.
That is a major push. So how will you process, or how should I should say, how will the process be different tomorrow since you are sending out so many more people tomorrow?
Sure. Well, and I guess the what we've been talking a lot about is our 5-4-3-2-1 message, and I'm not sure if you heard it or not, but 5 hours before your flight, checking out of your hotel, 4 hours before your flight, be returning your rental car. 3 hours before your flight, be at the airline ticket counter. 2 hours before your flight, be at the security checkpoint. And then 1 hour before your flight, be at your airline gate. So we've just been trying to send that message to add extra time, because our ticketing lobby, especially our inbound roadway, are going to be at unprecedented busy levels tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not traveling internationally, think of it as an international flight.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to do it. You know, when it comes to what the airport does, the security is your piece of the job, right?
Well, so we share that responsibility. The security of the overall airport is the Metropolitan Airports Commission. We have our own police force, and they take care of, you know, everything on the airfield as well as inside the terminals themselves. But the TSA handles the security checkpoints, getting people from the public side over to the secure side.
But don't they have to work with you? Because you guys run like a city.
Absolutely. And I was just emailing with one of the TSA leadership folks right before I jumped on the phone. So we were in contact daily, if not hourly.
Okay, so what should travelers know about security? What has changed? Do you have more dogs, more people, longer wait times, and being patient? If you are pre-TSA, in fact, are there any pre-TSA approvals for going out from the Super Bowl?
You know, that's a good question. I wonder if they would be processing any, but certainly TSA has increased their staffing levels. I think they've got between 65 and 70 people that they brought in from around the nation. They brought in, I think, 15 canine screening teams, so the dogs. So they'll be running with the dogs starting at midnight tonight, really, and then going sometime until Tuesday. So, yeah, they've done a great job ramping up for this, and we're going to give it our best shot with all of the lanes running, all of them staffed, all of them having dogs. So we'll see what happens.
We'll pray for good weather, that's for sure. My final question for you, sir. The celebs that have come by private jet are landing in St. Paul Airport as well as the MSP, but there are other celebrities that choose to take commercial flights. Now, I understand that there are like concierge who handle them and make sure that they get special privileges, that they get to go through security and so much more. Is this a service that anyone can get as long as they can afford it?
Yeah, you know, nobody gets special privileges through
security?
A TSA security checkpoint line. So it doesn't
really
matter who you are, you're going to be.
Doesn't matter what, it could be Beyonce. Really?
She's going to go through a checkpoint. Exactly. And she's going to
like stand in line, go through it. Really?
Yeah. You know, we're trying to do what we can to make it easier for everybody. And we certainly know that we have VIPs and celebrities that are going to be coming through our terminal.
But wouldn't it cause some problems if those VIPs or those celebrities are standing in line? I mean, can you imagine the chaos that could happen with people wanting autographs, wanting to meet them, wanting to take pictures?
Right. Well, and you know, we're good Minnesotans, right? We we'll behave.
Our Minnesotans are going to be standing in those lines, my friend. Come on. So I hope that you guys are ready for that, because that could really make a difference, right?
Right, absolutely.
All right. Well, it sure has been a pleasure having you on with us tonight, Phil. And if people have questions, what website do they go to look and make sure they know the 5-4-3-2-1?
Yeah, the MSPAirport.com website is a good source for everybody.
MSP.com.
MSPAirport.com.
MSPAirport.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Phil. Wish you appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, he is the operations director over there at the Minneapolis St. Paul Airport. His name is Phil Burke. And if you want more information about the 5-4-3-2-1, I'm just hearing about that, didn't know anything about it, just go to MSPAirport.com. Com. We got to take a break here in just a moment. Now, we want to let you know we've got another guest coming up at 7:30, Larry Jacobs. We got a lot to talk about with Larry Jacobs. He's political science professor at the University of Minnesota. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the caucuses are already kicking off their 2018 midterm election season. Oh, man, here we go. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. And as promised, joining us tonight to talk about these upcoming caucuses, I can't believe it, this is happening on Tuesday, Larry Jacobs is joining us. He's political science professor at the University of Minnesota, and Tuesday marks the kickoff of the 2018 midterm election season in Minnesota. And at their most basic level, the caucuses represent an opportunity for activists in Minnesota's two major political parties to have a say in setting the party's platform and select delegates. That's a big deal, who may eventually go on to the party's endorsing conventions. Welcome back to WCCO, Larry, and thanks for joining us on Super Bowl night.
It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Well, the process for a lot of open seats begin on Tuesday, including 134 seats in the Minnesota House alone. That's amazing.
Yeah, every 2 years those folks are up. And, of course, the Republicans have the majority now. Democrats would like to grab that majority.
And how do you think that's going to go?
Well, the Republicans have been doing a great job the last couple cycles. And they've kind of routed the DFL up north, which used to be a DFL stronghold. Democrats are hoping that the backlash against President Trump, who has record on popularity ratings, will help them.
Yeah, exactly. So this is really a big, big year for everyone across the country. And knowing that it's starting here on Tuesday, the way they like to do this is with both the DFL and the Republican parties conducting a non-binding straw poll for governor that would test the early grassroots support for announced candidates. Are they just testing caucus goers, or have the caucus goers ask their constituents who they will vote for?
These caucus goers are the party faithful. They're the foot soldiers for each party and for, you know, the liberal and conservative ideologies. So this is not a cross-section of Minnesota. The straw poll often doesn't really carry much weight in terms of predicting even the party's nominees.
Well, these foot soldiers, though, carry a lot of weight. And it amazes me that they keep coming back over and over again to the conventions.
Well, they really believe. These are the folks who stay up late at night, talking about the issues, and they're willing to walk in freezing cold weather to canvass with people. And so they're the believers. They're the ones who really believe in, you know, banning abortion or single payer or, you know, those big issues. They get fired up about them, and this is one of the ways in which they kind of express themselves and participate in the process.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for them. But with last year's election, many more Americans are probably looking to engage more in the caucus process, don't you think?
Well, we're going to see. I think that's going to be an interesting question, whether, in fact, the caucuses are really going to be drawing more people, or we're going to see that as we move into the primaries and then the general election.
Mm-hmm. How do people learn about that? We know it's in the paper, but is there a certain place they're supposed to go to say, hey, I'm interested this year in being a part of this experience?
Yes, there's a lot of information out there. You can find it at the Secretary of State webpage. You can also find it with each party. The parties ask that you, agree with them on their basic principles and philosophies. But, you know, aside from that, you can caucus with either Democratic or Republican Party. It's up to you.
All right. And so not any third parties, just the DFLers and the GOPers.
Yeah, the Independence Party has its own process.
Okay. Yeah, we've heard about that. So how early before the caucuses do possible candidates contact their parties to get in the game?
Oh, this has been underway for a couple of years already. I've traveled around the state giving different talks, and, you know, I run across the supporters for the different, particularly the gubernatorial candidates. They're really out there working hard and looking for support. There are a number of candidates running, and the endorsing process, which is not as significant as it used to be.
That's right.
And the endorsing process is what we're kicking off on Tuesday with the caucuses. But it's still a very important a tool for one of the gubernatorial candidates. It gives them the support of the party and those resources.
Right, it's a tool in the tool belt. But what are the endorsers trying to do? Are they trying to get back in the great, in the good graces of the people?
Yes, for sure. They're those gubernatorial candidates, in particular, they're meeting with folks they want to recruit to participate and turn out on Tuesday, and then work their way up through the process to become delegates at the state conventions that will then be endorsing. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see the gubernatorial candidates tailoring their message among the Republicans. It's to the Tea Party, the Trump supporters, the real conservative folks. And among the DFL, it's among the progressives and folks who are really looking to move the country more to a liberal direction.
Let's talk about delegates for a moment, because you talk about the process. The delegates have a lot of power. And I wonder, is it legal for the candidates to court them for their votes later on in the process?
Absolutely. That is the process.
That is it.
This is democracy. Money matters, but it really is these kind of small meetings. It's like a candidate going to talk to 15 or 20 or 25 people who've gotten together and asking those people to become delegates and then to move through the process, which is takes a lot of time and energy. This is really kind of grassroots democracy where everyday people become movers and shakers in our decisions about who's going to be running for governor.
But you and I both know that money comes in, and they call it dark money. It's been coming into our local. I mean, some of the smaller, even school board money is piling in. So money does make a difference. However, when it comes to them becoming delegates and knowing that they have this kind of power, how is it that we can get new people in there if you've got the same people over and over and over vying for the job?
Well, let's say you and I decide that there's an issue, and let's call it, you know, the Green Street campaign, and you and I decide, okay, we're going to build a groundswell of support, and we recruit our friends, and we start showing up at each party's caucuses and saying, hey, here, we're in this corner, and we're the Green Street supporters. Mm-hmm. And so you start building support for your issue. And literally, that's a big part of the caucusing. People literally caucus. They meet. They talk, they argue, they try to get support for the issues that they most care about.
Okay, and the candidates that they most care about as well.
Right.
You've got someone like Tim Pawlenty that possibly could be running for governor, right?
Yes, and you know, so this is the beginning of the process that will result later in the year in the endorsement of a Democratic and Republican candidate. What we've seen in the Democratic Party for some time, and more recently in the Republican Party, is that the endorsing process has been less of an influence in determining who actually becomes a nominee for each party come November. And so Tim Pawlenty may actually not even be running for the endorsement. He may show up, but his real focus may be on winning that primary that will come after the endorsing convention, and there money is going to be very important.
Exactly. So, you know, I have to ask you about Lori Swanson. A lot of people thought she was definitely going to make a run for the governorship, but now that she's taken that place, what do you think her future is looking like?
I'm curious. I mean, I agree with you. I was surprised. I thought it was kind of imminent. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is one of the questions a lot of us are eager to get to the bottom of. But I think it opens up opportunities in the Democratic Party among those vying for the gubernatorial nomination. Mm-hmm. For DFL. And you know, you've got a number of very talented candidates, some of whom are prominent women, and they're probably seeing Lori Swanson's departure as helping their cause.
Right. It's really interesting to me how this game plays, but it's really not a game. This is our lives. This is very serious business. And I know the caucuses take it very seriously, and I know the candidates do as well. But to some of those of us on the outside looking in, it appears to be a game. I remember reading so much about caucuses last time, and you just say to yourself, oh, come on, it's just another game, but it's not.
You know, for people who are kind of turned off in the process, my strong recommendation would be go Tuesday. See what you think.
Right.
When I've gone to caucuses, I've always been blown away by the passion, by the intelligence, by the energy And I've gone to both party caucuses, and you know, these are people who are believers, and these are not people with big paychecks who are going to be writing the big campaign donations. They're just folks like you and me who care about their communities and have strong views about the candidates and about the issues. It is small D democracy.
Small D democracy. At the same time, though, I would say capital P power. You know, these people have a lot of power in their hands, and that's why many of them keep coming back over and over again. It's not just that they're political zealots or that they truly believe in their party and want to move it forward. It has a lot of power. That's what scared me when I went to see and participate in a caucus, was how much power there was being wielded in that room.
I think there are some people have power, but when you go there and you're in a gymnasium with 250 or 300 people, and you realize that there's a kind of chaos of people talking to each other and arguing and literally trying to recruit you to their corner of the gym to support their candidate, there's also something else going on there.
Right.
And that's the part that I find more hopeful. But certainly, you know, each candidate has got their angle and their group of supporters and donors.
Well, speaking of hopeful, the one thing I hope for is that they really greet newcomers at the door. Greet them at the door, make them feel welcome, and make sure you let them know every process that is happening. There's no book that's given to you when you come in. I guess they assume that you've read up on everything. There's no one understands who goes to what side of what, when you move, what you're supposed to do, when you raise your hand, what you're supposed to do. There's just no one there to explain it to you. So you're more, the first time around, and that could be a really important moment, like this particular thing that's happening on Tuesday. If you go to that and you have no idea what's happening, ask someone. Even if you have to raise your hand and say, can you stop for a minute and explain to us what is happening here? Because it's important to know.
Great advice.
Yeah. Finally, I have to ask you before you go. You also head up a group of bipartisan leaders from all walks of life that will travel to Washington, D.C. this week to meet with the elected officials and movers and shakers in D.C. What is the goal?
The program is called the Policy Fellows. It was started almost 30 years ago by Vice President Walter Mondale and former Ambassador Jerry Joseph. They ran it for a while, and then the Republican member of Congress, or former Republican member of Congress, Vin Weber, and former Democratic member of Congress, Tim Penny, took it over for a decade. And I've been running it with Kate Cimino for the past decade or dozen years. And the idea is to bring together up-and-comers in business. It's got Target and Best Buy and, you know, those kind of companies and smaller companies, people who are in government and folks who run their nonprofits, foundations, and other organizations. And their mission really is to improve our community. And so on Tuesday, we're heading out to Washington as part of our annual trip in this year-long program. And we'll be meeting with members of Congress and people in the Trump administration, experts on policy, and plenty of folks in the media, both liberal and conservative.
Liberal and conservatives, excuse me for interrupting. So how many fellows will attend?
It's about 32 this year, I think.
And has it been more than that in the past or no?
Sometimes we have more. Sometimes we have friends of the program who say, hey, can we come along? Because we're out there. You know, we'll be meeting with E.J. Dion, who's a well-known columnist for Washington Post, who will say, I never see any state send this kind of delegation. And it's, you know, I think it does Minnesota proud. You see business people who care about the community. You see the increasing diversity of Minnesota. We have a number of people who are from Africa and Somalia and Liberia and elsewhere. And you see vets and people in the service. We have a number of folks who are in active service and are part of the program.
Well, I tell you, sir, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. And Larry Jacobs, you are so much more than a political science professor at the University of Minnesota. You really keep your hands in the mix, and you report on it. You let us know what's going on, and so we appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great to be on with you.
All right. Have a great evening.
Okay. You too.
All right, you guys, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 7:49. Let's make that 7:50 here at WCCO. By the way, if you didn't know, you better ask somebody, because Justin Timberlake just played, and I don't think Janet Jackson came out on the stage. I kept looking up at the monitor thinking, surely she's going to come up on stage. I mean, they were both banned from doing the Super Bowl. So when he was asked to come back, you know, people like me were going, really? surely she's coming back too. You don't punish the woman and not punish the man, right? Although it seems to be a real problem in schools, particularly high schools and that sort of thing. I remember my daughter being in high school, and there was a girl who became pregnant. It was an unexpected pregnancy, and they suspended her and did not suspend him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. So we're going to have to find out what happened to Janet Jackson. Maybe she was just too busy. I heard that, you know, she needed to take her son down to visit his dad. So who knows what the truth is, but we should get to the bottom of it. I hope you enjoyed Justin Timberlake, as well as all of the other musicians that I perform, and we'll talk about that later on. I do want to let you know, when it comes to the caucus that we talked to Larry Jacobs all about, going to the Secretary of State website is the key. You will find out all the information that you should know before you go to the caucus. But if you don't understand anything, make sure you ask someone. And make sure the person that you ask is someone that's been involved for a long time, because they can really explain it to you. And if you want to become one of those who has a chance at being a delegate, seriously, work hard at it. You know, kind of nudge your way in. Because these people that have been there a long time take it very seriously, and they do not, at least the caucus I went to, they were not open to others coming in and saying, oh, yeah, I think I want to be a part of it. Not as open as I expected, let's just put it that way. So the process again starts on Tuesday for endorsing each party's candidates for two U.S. Senate seats. I mean, this is serious business. Eight congressional seats, 134 seats in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I mean, that alone ought to, you know, help us keep our eye on things, as well as a state auditor, secretary of state, and attorney general. These are really important positions. So whatever you do, don't just walk away from it and think that it's nothing. It is serious business, and it's worth taking a look at. Also, there are other resources that you can use to help you understand. I would also encourage you to look at NOW, National Organization for Women, and 'cause female voters, women voters this year are going to have a huge impact. You know, so where do we go get advice? That's what I think. Put it on your social media. Let people know where they can go to find out more information about caucuses. This is happening on Tuesday, and it's important enough for us to stress, yes, get in on the beginning of it. If you have any interest at all in learning how it works and what you can do to make a difference, so many of you call in to Still Talking, and some of you complain. You know, because that's what we want to do. That's the first thing we want to do when we are unhappy with how things are going in our country. We want to complain about it. And how many times have you heard me say, please run for office? You sound like you care. Please run for office. And how many of us actually do it? I've been asked three times seriously to run for office, and I chose not to. I just don't think I'm the one. Even my mother has said to me, why won't you run for office? And I can't even imagine what committee I would serve on or how I could really make a difference. All I know is anyone that I can find and encourage them to run, I am constantly asking them to do so. And that's whether you agree with me or not. The bottom line is that we are engaged now here in America. We are polarized, yet we are engaged. And we will find out how engaged we really are after Tuesday right here in the great state of Minnesota. So get out if you can. Find out where to go. Find out where it's held. Figure out how it works. Don't get impatient. Try your best to be patient. Try your best to figure it out. Take notes. Ask questions. And if you have something you need to say, if you want to participate in something, then do it. Jump in. The waters are just perfect. All right, enough about that. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. There is so much to talk about. I'm really excited about 8 o'clock. Arthur Reynolds, who is an author, he is joining us. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota's Institute of Child Development. And he's going to join me to talk about a really interesting new study by the University of Minnesota researchers. Really, it's quite remarkable how they followed 1,500 children from 1983 for almost 30 years. For 30 years, and to hear why they were doing this, what they hope to glean from it, the results have been quite remarkable. So we're going to talk to Arthur Reynolds with that study at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, we have an interview with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. I am so excited. We actually taped the piece, and they came in studio here at CCO, and oh my gosh, we took pictures with them. They have been so generous with their time. They have been so wonderful all throughout the Twin Cities, you know, just going to North High School where they had a chance to talk to the children. The children got involved in the station there, the radio station there, KBEM, and they had a chance to interview Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. I mean, really, it's just so remarkable when our own come forward with all of the success that they have. These are super producers, right? And they come forward and they participate, not just in the Super Bowl. But they are the ones that helped put together the Super Bowl live stage with all of those incredible artists. And I remember talking to Terry before, and he said, I had hoped for even more. You know, I had hoped for more artists, and then we ran out of money. But oh my goodness, how beautiful was that? And so many of you came out and stood in the snow, stood in the ice, stood in the painful below zero wind chills and just said, yep, we're here. Let's party. Let's keep moving.
Hello. Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam were here in the studio. Where was my invite? Why didn't you tell me that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were here in the studio? I could have my picture taken with them. Hello.
My goodness, hello. Jonathan. That is the voice of Jonathan Lowe. You know we love him. We know him here at CCO.
I'm just saying.
And finally, he's back on Steel Talking, which I haven't seen in a while. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, he jumps right in while I'm having this moment. But it really is. I get just it. I would have jumped in, too.
You could share a moment with a brother. That's all.
Well, he met so many people. Laura Oaks and Minnie here. Jerry. We had a really great time, and they just sat so comfortably. I remember I was on my way in. I wanted to get here by 3:30. The interview was at 4, and they called me at about 3:25. I'm in the car driving, and they say, oh, you know, we're here. We're just relaxing. Our dinner got done early. You know, just take your time. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to get there. And when I got there, they're like, take your time. Let's just sit and talk for a minute.
The life of super producers.
Oh, man, it's a good thing, right? Both married with families, doing well. I think I know Terry has grandchildren by now, and just amazing. So that is coming up at 8:30. You do not want to miss it. You've been listening to Steel Talk, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.